Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, running Philadelphia for the 25th year in a row.
You know, it's funny. I had no intention of planning to run all of the Philadelphia marathons at the time. I had lived in Philadelphia. I went to school there. And so I thought, oh, I'll go back and run the race. And prior to this particular race starting up, they had a couple of other incarnations of marathons in the Philadelphia area. And the last one had been several years before this one, and it was just a multi-loop course that was in a park. And that was the Fairmount Park Marathon. And that was, to me, nothing special. But this one was a citywide marathon, so I wanted to go to it to see exactly what it was going to be like to run through the entire city.
From a devastating MS attack to a marathon in less than a year.
I just found myself to be in like such a daze of like not being able to really comprehend process what I just did.
And a Canadian Olympian offers some sage advice.
Don't second guess yourself, because that's not going to help at that point right before the race. And just stay positive and keep remembering your goals and why you're at the race and what you're ready to do.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll talk to Mark Sullivan, who has run the Philadelphia Marathon every single time it's been staged. Blake Hurtis, an incredibly inspiring runner who a year ago was so overcome by symptoms of MS that he could barely walk. A few weeks ago, he ran a marathon. And Canadian Olympian Sage Watson, who is the newest columnist in iRun. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us once again. Now, we're going to talk about the Scotiabank-Toronto Waterfront Marathon last weekend. And look, I understand it didn't go so well for you. What happened?
You know, I mean, I guess this is why we love it. Any given Sunday, anything can happen. As I'm prone to do, I went out too fast. And, you know, because you never quite know exactly how fast you can go.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
So, and it always feels so good at the start, too, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow. And, you know, I didn't have a pacer. I wanted to go under three. There wasn't an under three pacer, and the group I fell into was going for 2:55. And I thought, you know, I'm a young buck. Maybe I'm not being ambitious enough. Fine, let's do 2:55. I'd rather go 2:55 with a group than go 2:59:30 on my own. And the other thing is the marathon and half marathon started. I'm making excuses. Listen to me. This is pathetic. Anyway, I ran.
You're not making excuses. You're just explaining what happened.
it sounds to me like excuses. So I should just imagine what the listeners are just rolling their eyes with their coffee. But anyway, the marathon and the half marathon start at the same time. A lot of people run a half marathon at 1:30. But so there was the group was too big for, I didn't want to be in that group. There was just too many people, you know, and they speed up at the very end and I've got to go on. It's just sort of a distraction. They're doing their own thing. So I decided I would go way out in front of that. But, well, you know, unfortunately with those tactical decisions, I ran out of gas.
Yeah.
I ran out of gas. And, you know, I'm running the New York Marathon a week from now. So I also figured that, you know, I have another marathon coming up very soon. Best to not inflict additional, you know, pain on my old carcass of a body and try to save something for next week.
All right. So you went from feeling like a young buck to an old carcass in 30K.
That's what the marathon will do to you.
Absolutely.
I'm on top of the world, Mom.
Yeah.
Hey, and then at 30, you're, you know, Mom, help.
Exactly. I don't think there's a better description for a marathon than what we just did right there. Well, you made the right call, I think. And that's, you know, it puts you once again in the category of the elite runners, because that's what they do, right? They pull the plug and then they live to fight another day. They don't slog it out and have a bad performance that compromises their next run, right? So that's the category I put you in. You're an elite runner now. Yeah.
You're a nice guy. You've got that reputation. And this is what this kind of thing is what cultures that.
But you've still got something to look forward to here. You're going to be running the New York City Marathon, which is your hometown race, for the very first time. And I'm very excited for you. I've done New York a couple of times, three times, in fact. And it is probably my absolute favorite. I would love to do it again sometime.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited for you.
Yeah, thanks. And I'm going to do it. You know, everything that I did at this race, I'm going to do differently for the New York race. Like, for instance, and I dressed as little clothes as possible to run as maximum speed. So it's like, but, you know, you can do that, and that's one strategy. But the thing is, you're cold, you know?
Yeah.
So this time I'm going to, you know, I'm going to bundle up a little bit. And instead of trying to go 2:59:45, I'm going to just see where the day takes me and maybe not do a watch or maybe do 3:30 or something like that and just, you know, take that pressure off and just sort of jog through.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, I want you to enjoy the experience, and there's so
Thank
much
you.
To it. It's such a great event, and that wall of noise that you get when you come off the
wow.
bridge and you arrive in Manhattan again, First Avenue,
wow.
great stuff. So you're going to have a wonderful time. I wish you the best with that. Now, there were some great performances at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon that we have to make note of, including Cam Levins, who is running his first marathon and sets a new Canadian record, breaking the record set by Jerome Drayton in 1975. This record had stood for 43 years, and Cam goes out and breaks it in his first marathon.
Yeah, and he couldn't be a nicer guy or a better story. And, you know, it's just a very inspiring, exciting time in Canadian racing. So when we get, you know, the Olympics team that we're going to field for 2020 is shaping up to be very interesting on both the male and female side.
Yeah, and so hats off to him. I mean, that's
oh, yeah.
fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And
he also came back from a big injury where his career may have been, he may have been done 2015. You know, he didn't know if he was going to run again. And look at that. He changed up the distance. He got into the marathon, and he broke the record on his first time out there. So
wow.
it's a nice story for everyone that, you know, you never give up. You never know what's going to happen.
And we're going to have him probably on next week's edition of the show or the week after. Sometime in the next couple of weeks, he's going to join us to talk about it. Coming up on the show this week, Olympian Sage Watson. I know you're very excited about having Sage writing for iRun now. She's doing the Sage Advice column. Perfect name for that. She's got some great advice to offer in our interview today and also in the column that she's writing for iRun.
Yeah, that's just great. She's a huge addition to the team, and we're excited to have her part of the program.
Yeah, and Mark Sullivan, who's done some writing for us before, a prolific marathon runner. He's done, I think, 300 marathons or thereabouts, and he is doing Philadelphia for the 25th year in a row. He's run the Philadelphia Marathon every single year that it has happened, and he's going to join us to tell us some stories about the Philadelphia Marathon and also a very inspiring story. Blake Hurtis has MS, and a year ago he could barely walk. That's how bad it was. He had an MS attack that was devastating, and just a few weeks ago he ran the Prince Edward Island Marathon. So he went
wow.
from barely being able to walk to running the PEI Marathon in less than a year thanks to some stem cell treatment, and it's just so powerful to hear how much his life has changed. It's really inspiring. So he's going to talk to us coming up as well. So, Ben, I hope you enjoy the final preparations for New York. Can't wait to hear about how your race goes next week. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the countdown to New York City.
Yeah, thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you about you soon.
That is Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, running the Philadelphia Marathon for the 25th year in a row. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Mark Sullivan has run the Philadelphia Marathon every single year since it was started. He's getting ready for the 25th edition of the race next month. Mark, thank you for joining us again on iRun Radio.
Thanks for having me back. It's always good to talk to you, Mark.
What are your memories from the very first Philadelphia Marathon that you ran in now almost 25 years ago?
You know, it's funny. I had no intention of planning to run all of the Philadelphia Marathons at the time. I had lived in Philadelphia. I went to school there. And so I thought, oh, I'll go back and run the race. And prior to this particular race starting up, they had a couple of other incarnations of marathons in the Philadelphia area. And the last one had been several years before this one, and it was just a multi-loop course that was in a park. And that was the Fairmont Park Marathon. And that was, to me, nothing special. But this one was a citywide marathon, so I wanted to go to it to see exactly what it was going to be like to run through the entire city, which I thought that was going to be interesting. And at the time, races were not nearly as large as they are now. Back then, Boston had maybe 10, 12,000 people in it, something like that. And that was considered a mega race. And so the starting point for the Philadelphia Marathon was about 1,500 people. And that at the time seemed like a really large crowd. And even when I watch, I have a videotape from that first marathon. And I remember watching it years later, having put it away and not thinking about it. And back at the 20th, they were looking for archival information. And I had this, and they were thrilled because no one seemed to have a copy of it. And it was so funny to watch that, because even watching it, it seems like a big crowd. But you realize it's nothing like the size of the races now, you know, the way that they've grown. But one thing that's really been interesting about that race, they've really held on to, and I've heard this from so many people, is they said that it feels like a hometown race. And they really do somehow maintain that, despite the fact that between the half marathon and the marathon, they'll have 30,000 runners there. It has a real hometown feeling about that. And I think partially because it's a sports town, so people love sporting events regardless, and they do come out and watch. But a lot of the locals take part year after year after year, coming out and manning the water stations, you know, the aid stations along the way. And they take a real pride in that. And some of the people that I've met there, for instance, one of the guys is a cross-country coach, and he brings his cross-country team runners every year to work the marathon to inspire these young people to want to run a marathon. But it's great because these enthusiastic young runners are running the drinks out to the runners, and they're very, very energetic, and it's great to see that kind of, you know, relationship with the young runners who are, have never thought about running a marathon until this particular day. And you see all these people, that many of them seasoned veterans, you know, being serviced there by these young people who are giving back in that way. So it has a really interesting feeling to it, which I think is unusual and very unique to a lot of the races I've run.
So what is it that has kept bringing you back? I mean, obviously, at a certain point, after you ran 10, 15, 20 in a row, you're going to keep going every time you can. But in those first few years, what was it that made you want to keep doing Philadelphia?
I like the city. There's a lot of great things about the city, and you can make all kinds of arguments to go to that city. You know, I always point to the food. Everybody likes a cheesesteak, and you know, you can't get a better cheesesteak than you can in Philadelphia. And of course, they have so many other great restaurants and food and things like that, and there's so much to see. The course is so diverse. You run a lot of it in the downtown area, but you also run a lot through the parks, and you get to see just about everything you could possibly imagine in the Philadelphia area. Anything that's slightly historic, you're going to go by. And so a lot of races, and you've been at a few of these, and I know I hate to mention them by name, but you've run certain races where they end up needing additional course, and so they run you into like an industrial plant, or they just run you somewhere just to make up the mileage. And Philadelphia doesn't do that. Philadelphia basically runs you all through the city and up through the parks and really tries to give you a best view of the city. And I always enjoyed that. I always enjoyed running by all the different landmarks. I mean, you run by the Liberty Bell, and you run now by Constitution Hall, and you run through South Street, and you run through the downtown market area. And it's really interesting. But you also go up through Drexel and to the university, right past the zoo. And so you get to see a lot of the city in that way. And that's always enjoyable to me because I had lived there in Philadelphia, but it's just a great city to be in. And so it's a pretty, very pretty course, in addition to being interesting, diverse. It's very pretty because you get to run through a lot of the parks, and you get to run out along the river, and it's always nice out there because there's usually some rowing crews out there and things like that. Just very picturesque to be out running along the river. So I like it for that reason. I like the fact that Philadelphia every single year learns from what they've done the year before and tries to improve upon it. And that is one thing I have seen, the growth that they've done. They were very controlled with allowing more people, and they didn't overstep themselves. I've been to some races before where they grew very, very quickly, and they could not manage themselves. And so because they've been able to do that, they've had a very controlled growth. Everything is set up very well for the runners, and it is a very good, very runner-friendly event. Some races aren't that way, and they have a lot of travel back and forth. They go out to an expo or whatever. You're riding the subway to get there, riding a bus to get somewhere. And it's not like that in Philly. Everything is within walking distance. Everything is centrally located right there. It's great. So it makes it very runner friendly.
And what memories do you have from over the years? Is there a particular edition of the Philadelphia Marathon that stands out for you personally?
There's a lot of really good memories. Mayor Nutter, the former mayor, who they now have a new mayor, but he was there for several years in Philadelphia, and he took such an active interest in the marathon. And he used to actually come out first thing in the morning, way before the marathon started. He would be there the entire day all the way through the race, and he would stand out in the finish line and give everybody a high five. And he didn't wear some big sash or people know he's there. He was just out there for the sake of enjoying the race. And it was funny because there's so many people who have caught him on video. He's out there dancing to the music and cheering the runners on. And I have a friend who I coached to run the marathon. He had run it many years before, but he came back after 13 years off, and I coached him, and he requalified. And that particular day, he got a picture coming across the line. He was so ecstatic, and he has his hand up in the air, and he's getting a high five. And he hung the picture up in his office, and I went in to see him the one day, and I said, "Oh, you got a picture with the mayor." He goes, "What?" And I said, "The picture that you have right there, you're getting a high five from the mayor of Philadelphia." And he said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "No." And he said, "I saw that guy. I didn't know it was the mayor." I would tell people this every year. They come back and they say, "I couldn't believe it. The mayor was out there and he shook my hand after I got done." And so things like that, I remember so many fond memories of people enjoying the race so much. And that, of course, adds to your enjoyment. There was a fellow I didn't know many years ago. One day I was out running on the course and he picked me out and said my name, and I thought, how do I know this guy? How does this guy know me? And for year after year after year, I would find this man somewhere out on the course, and he'd always have a mountain bike or something. He'd be out there trying to get around the course, and I'd run into him, and he'd scream my name way in advance, and I didn't know who he was. And this went on for years, and to this day, I still don't know who this person was, but for some reason, he knew me, and he would cheer for me every year. And it was this mystery of where will this person be, and who is he cheering for me? So there are things like that. When I think back, I remember fond memories of that. I had some friends from Philadelphia who used to see each year. Unfortunately, one of my friends that lives in Philadelphia, he used to come down and have dinner with us. He passed away from cancer last year.
And, I'm sorry to hear that.
He and his sons came down and had dinner with us many times the day before the race, and I enjoyed those times. I remember eating out at the local Italian restaurant and having dinner together, and then we used to go out actually afterwards. We started doing it instead afterwards and having dinner with him. So that was some good memories like that.
Now, Mark, you've run the Philadelphia Marathon every year that it's been operating, and this will be your 25th year doing it. Is there anyone else who has done it every single year?
There's one other person. His name's Bob Cohn. He's from New Jersey. There's only two of us, believe it or not. But we have started a program called the Legacy Runners. It's on the website, on the Philadelphia Marathon website. And what we did is we tried to expand the number of runners who would be there as repeats and kind of single them out and give them special notoriety. So we have several tiers. There is a 15-year and a 20-year. And, of course, after this year, there'll be a 25-year. But we're known as the charter members. And so we've been every year asking for more people, if they've run this, to write in. And we have now located, we have a total of 12 people who have run 15 or more of the Philadelphia Marathons, and they are the Legacy Runners. And we're hoping to have something special for all the Legacy Runners this year, probably something to wear to be recognized in the race so people can pick them out. But there's quite a few people now who have had maybe 8, 9, 10 or more Philadelphia finishes over the years, and now they've had something to shoot for. They want to come back and see if they can make it to become a legacy runner.
And I know you have run a lot of different marathons, not just Philadelphia. You've run Boston many times, Ottawa. You've done other marathons and events in Canada. So very quickly, where would you rank Philadelphia among your favorites?
I would say it's tied for my favorite.
Okay. Tied with?
I really like Ottawa a lot. I love running Ottawa. I love Philadelphia for different reasons, but I've run Boston. I'm coming up on next year, probably my 33rd consecutive Boston Marathon. And, you know, I am at that point now where I go because I have to go because I have 30-some Boston Marathons. But there's aspects of that race and that weekend that I'm not that fond of. I just enjoy Philly start to finish. The weekend start to finish, I enjoy. And I'm like that with Ottawa. And there's a lot of similarities between the two races in that, being that it's centrally located downtown, it is great because if you stay downtown at one of the hotels, you can walk right over to the start. Very easy to get to it. Although Philadelphia does run shuttle buses from the hotels, even if you don't want to walk, it's not that far. They run shuttle buses back and forth for everybody, too. But I like the staging, the way they have it set up on the parkway. It's one of those races where when you finish, if your friends are watching, they can follow you right through the finish line, right along the fencing, and come out the end with you and be right there to greet you. And, you know, you've run Boston. You've seen how Boston, the last few blocks are pretty much closed off. There's no way to get to the runners. And on the other side, when you finish, there's really no way to get to them. Even New York is like that. You really can't get to the runner. This one encourages you to be right there running along the side, get to the edge, and then at the very end, when you come out of the chutes, you can link up with your friends and family, and they encourage you to stay there because they're on the parkway. There's so much space. There's this huge, massive expanse of park there that you can stay and spend the day, which
right.
makes it very nice if you have other people in the race or your spouse is running or friends. You get to kind of hang out there, and you don't have to have another meeting place to go to. You can wait right there for them.
All right. Well, Mark, you keep encouraging me to try Philadelphia, and I fully intend to. I promise you I will do the Philadelphia Marathon sometime in the next couple of years, and I really look forward to doing it. You're a great ambassador for the race. Congratulations on running it 24 times. Good luck in the 25th edition, and thank you for joining us on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark.
That's Mark Sullivan, who's running the Philadelphia Marathon for the 25th year in a row next month. Coming up, the remarkable story of MS survivor Blake Curtis. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. You can also listen to the podcast, and you can check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. A year ago, after a devastating MS attack, Blake Curtis could barely walk. But a few weeks ago, Blake completed the Prince Edward Island Marathon. It's a remarkable and inspiring story.
Blake, it is great to talk to you again. Welcome to iRun Radio.
Yeah, good talk to you too.
So let's go back to a year ago, because that really is where your story begins. 1 year ago, because of MS, you were barely able to move at all. Describe what you were doing at that time.
Well, a year ago, I was actually, it was just after my attack. I was going through chemo and I was having my stem cells harvested so that I could do the transplant in November. So lots of chemo at the time.
And what were you experiencing physically as you were going through that?
You know, a lot of the things you would normally experience with chemotherapy, you know, the hair loss, the being run down, nauseated, you know, and really not able to do a whole lot at that time.
And at what point did you decide you wanted to take up running? And just tell me the path from there, because obviously the stem cell transplant was a big game changer for you, right?
It was a huge game changer. Like, I've always been a sort of recreational runner, never took it very seriously. And, you know, it seemed like a logical thing to do to see if I could get myself, you know, back into good physical condition after the transplant. So when I got out of the hospital, I didn't start running right away, obviously. You know, it took a couple months to recover. And, you know, then I started, you know, really short distances, just trying to work it up and be in better shape, encourage myself to heal a little bit.
So what was it like when you started running?
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Everything about it was exhausting. I live on a road that's only about a kilometer long, and just even to get to the end of the road and back, a lot of the time I was just gassed. There was just no energy there.
What made you decide you wanted to run races and eventually do a marathon? Tell me about that thought process.
Well, I've sort of always liked the environment of running races. It's there's a lot of crowd energy that pulls you along. And so I just figured it would be really a really good experience for me. So that was a big part of it. But also it gave me something to strive for, something to try to be ready for.
And how realistic at that time did you think it would be that a year later that you'd be running in a marathon?
It wasn't realistic. It's never been realistic.
Yeah. I guess it was realistic when you crossed the finish line, right?
Yeah. It was like, even in the days leading up to it, it was very surreal just to be there and know that you're about to do this thing that you really shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. So did walk me through how your training went and how you gained strength and how you were able to train and get to the point of being able to run this marathon.
Okay, well, right away, the concern for me as soon as I agreed to do the marathon was making sure that I could even run that distance or complete that distance. Immediately it was just adding on kilometers, lots and lots and lots of kilometers every day, just a little bit further than the last day. And, that works up to a point. Obviously you can't run marathons back to back days, but I got far enough out that I could do, one or two long runs a week to try and, build up the kilometers. But I was doing it every week. I was very diligent about pushing myself out that far. And because I had agreed early enough in the year, I didn't have to, or I didn't feel like I had to stick to some sort of prearranged marathon plan, right? I could push myself farther out. And if I needed to adjust later, I could. And that's pretty much what happened, is that I pushed the kilometers out, and then once I felt I was good with distance at a very slow pace, then I just started working on having the capability of running it faster.
Were your MS symptoms under control at that point?
Yeah, completely under control. Right now, there would be no indication at all that I have MS.
And a year ago, you could barely move.
Yeah.
Wow.
My last attack was awful. There would have been no indication at that point that I had much of a future that didn't include some sort of walking aid.
So tell me about the Prince Edward Island Marathon. Why did you choose that one in particular?
A friend asked me to do it, was good encouragement, but also it's a good cause. So in thinking about doing it, they raise money for mental health in PI, and that's really important, not just generally, but for people with MS. That you often deal with a lot of, obviously, depression from the physical limitations that MS brings you, but also the anxiety of, what's your work future going to be like, and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So that was a big motivator.
So tell me about the experience of running the Prince Edward Island Marathon. How did it go?
It's hard. I mean, running a marathon is hard anyway. The Prince Edward Marathon is, I would say, it's a hard marathon. I mean, among the marathons that you can run in Canada, it would be pretty hard.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time on the Confederation Trail in PEI, which is not hard top, right? It's a crushed stone. So it's a pretty tiring run.
And how did it go for you?
My official time, I think, was a 4:03 on my watch. It was a 4:01. I'll take the 4:01.
Yeah. That's a good time for a first marathon.
It's an okay time. I would have liked to have been under 4 hours, but
it's not an okay time. It's a good time.
Okay. It's a good time. We'll say it's a good time, but I would have liked to have done a little bit better.
Now tell me what it was like for you approaching the finish line and crossing the finish line and completing a marathon less than a year after you'd had that attack and you were wondering what your future was like.
I mean, as a runner, you have this thought going through your head that you could have done better, which every runner is going to have that, I think. But then just as a person, you're thinking, it's amazing that you're even there. It's a very surreal experience because there's nothing to compare it to. You can't say, oh, well, somebody else did it. I don't know anybody else who did it. So it's just you have no frame of reference for it. So everything is, you don't even know how you're supposed to act in experiencing it.
Yeah, were you euphoric, joyful, satisfied, relieved? What emotions did you experience?
At that moment, I was relieved it's over.
Yeah.
Because it was starting to hurt a
sure.
lot. But I think you're just in such a... I just found myself to be in like such a daze of like not being able to really comprehend what I process what I just did.
And now that some time has passed and you have time to think about it, how do you feel about having completed a marathon?
Feels great. That part feels great. But now I want to do another one.
Well, I'm not surprised. So. Well, yeah. Well, I wish you the best of luck, Blake. Your story is so inspiring, and I know you've touched a lot of people with it, and I hope you keep running. I hope you continue to enjoy it, and I hope you continue to have good health. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
That's Blake Curtis, who ran the Prince Edward Island Marathon a few weeks ago. Coming up next, Canadian Olympian Sage Watson. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. One of the newest columnists in iRun magazine is Canadian Olympian Sage Watson. Her new column, Sage Advice, is in our latest issue. Sage, it is great to have you on iRun Radio. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And congratulations on all you've done. Tell me how your running is going lately and what you're working towards these days.
Yeah, so last year I just signed a professional contract with Nike. I run professionally for Nike, and I also run for Team Canada. This past year was a little bit of an off year. It was just the Diamond League circuit, but I'm in preparation for the World Championships next year in 2019 and the Olympic Games in 2020.
All right. So once again, the Olympics are approaching. And tell me, let's go back to the last Olympics and what that experience was like for you. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so it was always my dream to become an Olympian ever since I was little. So to have the opportunity and to qualify for the Olympic Games was a dream come true. I really enjoyed my time in Rio. We were just short of a medal in our 4x400, and I was just short of the final in my 400 hurdles. So I have some extra motivation for the next Olympics to get on that podium.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did the experience compare to what you had dreamed about as a child?
It was a lot different than I expected, actually. One of my favorite parts about the Olympic Games were being on Team Canada, of course. But I think the best part was meeting people from all over the world and all staying in the Olympic Village. It was a really cool experience to meet other track athletes and meet other athletes in different sporting events right in the village there. So that was one of my favorite experiences.
And why was this a dream when you were a child? What sparked that dream?
I just remember watching the Olympic Games on TV when I was little and watching Team Canada, and it drew me in. And it was from a very young age. I loved running and I loved track and field. I was passionate about it. And as I started to get older, my passion started to lead me into this dream of actually being an Olympian, and it started to become a reality a few years before the Olympic Games.
That's when you started to realize that maybe it was possible, that maybe you had the talent, the ability, the drive to actually achieve that goal.
Yeah, exactly. It's always unsure. You can never know if a kid's going to be an Olympian or not. You can just push them in the right direction, and I always had so many people supporting me on my Olympic journey, and I had great coaches. My family's so supportive, and they helped me get to the Olympics.
And did the dream of being at the Olympics, did that help to spur you on during some of your training? Was that something you drew on at times?
Yes, definitely. I always write my goals on a board and make sure that I look at them every day, and I had written down becoming an Olympian in 2016 for a while, and it was definitely my goal when I went down to the United States for university was, you know, to get a scholarship so that I could still go to school and pursue track and field so I could prepare for the Olympic Games. So I always like to remind myself of my goals, and becoming an Olympian was one of them for a while.
Now that you've done it and you're thinking about and training for the next Olympics, how do you expect the experience to be different this time? Does it allow you to narrow your focus to some performance-oriented goals because you've been through the experience once before?
Yeah, definitely being more mature going into the Olympics, having the experience is huge. I know what to expect now. I know what the pressure is going to feel like. So having that and being able to train every day, knowing that in the back of my mind, is really preparing me for the next Olympic Games. Because your first Olympics, I was almost, you know, so starstruck by everything. It was an amazing experience, a dream come true. And you, it's very draining. I didn't realize how draining the Olympic Games were. They're emotionally and physically draining because I competed for over a week and did multiple races. So by the end of it, I was very drained. And so knowing that going into the next Olympics will definitely help.
Now, you've started writing a column called Sage Advice for iRun.
Yes.
And great to have you on board doing that. And I know everyday runners are going to draw a lot from your experience. Can you relate, even though you're an elite athlete and Olympian, can you relate to the experience of ordinary runners like me and others who are training for a 5K or a 10K or a half marathon or something like that?
Yeah, definitely. I train every day, and I know everybody also wants to be fit and stay healthy and, you know, be the best they can in their races and events. So it comes with definitely every day you're not going to want to get up and train or run the miles or run the kilometers, but I can definitely give some advice on, you know, how to stay motivated and keep it going, because even professional athletes get a little bit tired some days. It's not always easy, and I think that people have this concept that professional athletes, oh, they just do it all the time, so it's easy for them. But there are those days, especially in Canada, when it's minus 20 or 30, and you question going out for a run, or you question doing your workout, and you just kind of have to dig deep no matter who you are.
Yeah, very true. And so your first column is about the nerves that you had about the Olympics, which didn't show at all when I was watching. Didn't look like you were nervous, but describe what you were going through, and then we'll talk about some of the tips you give, because I think the experience you describe is exactly how some runners feel when they're at the start line of a half marathon or a marathon or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. No matter what the race is, there's still going to be nerves. If it's the Olympic Games or if it's just a local road race, you have those nerves because you want to do the best you can. You want to show that your training's paid off and you have high expectations for yourself. So going into the Olympic Games, I knew what I wanted to do. But at the same time, I was at the Olympic Games. I had waited for this for so many years, and it was nerve-wracking. And I think the moment of calmness I felt, though, was when I walked out onto the track and I saw the Olympic rings on the track, I kind of had this like aha moment, like I've made it. And I said to myself, just focus on what you do every day. And, you know, that's running fast and hurdling. So that kind of calmed my nerves down. And but I feel sometimes just as nervous for a small track meet as I do for the big international track meet still.
Well, that's interesting. Even as an Olympian, you still get nerves. So I think that's comforting to the rest of us that experience that as well. one of the things you wrote about is to eliminate the what ifs and to focus on what you could, some positive statements you can say and some expressions of confidence. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have these, you know, doubting thoughts or what ifs, and you want to try to eliminate those, because even though you're trying not to think about it, even thinking about that or saying that in the back of your mind could put some doubt there. And when you step up to the starting line, you don't want to have any doubt. You just want to have your goals of what you want to accomplish, and you want to feel ready and motivated. You don't want to feel doubtful about yourself. So my thing is just try to say positive phrases to yourself. Don't second guess yourself, because that's not going to help at that point right before the race. And just stay positive and keep remembering your goals and why you're at the race and what you're ready to do.
One of the other things you wrote about really resonated with me, and that is to revisit your training log and to revisit your goals and to say things to yourself like, this is what you love to do. Go show the world how you can run. Because I, when I hit a certain point in a marathon, I often try to remind myself, this is what I trained for. This is why I did all those runs in the months leading up to this event. This is what I prepared for. So I know I'm ready. I just have to keep going. So it is important to remind yourself of all the work you put in to put yourself in a position to be successful, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think we sometimes forget all the preparation that goes into these races and these events we do. And it's really important just to take a moment, either the day of or the night before or the week before, to reflect on how far you've come and how your training has prepared you. Because remembering that will reassure yourself that you're ready. And I think that's so important, those moments before the race, is reassuring yourself. I put in the miles. I put in the hours. I put in all this work. I'm ready to show the world what I've got.
And I love the way you ended your column. You said, you're here, you've made it. As my coach always tells me, enjoy the moment. So were you able to do that at the Olympics? Can you describe what it was like when you started running and you were at the Olympic Games?
Yes, I had to be constantly reminded, just enjoy the moment, take it all in, because these nerves and distractions of what's going on can, you know, make you not realize where you are and what you're doing. And I made sure that I paused a couple times and looked out at the track and said, I made it. I'm here at the Olympics. I'm going to enjoy this feeling. I'm going to enjoy these memories. And I think that was so important to helping me perform almost the personal best in the 4x4 and running my fastest split ever, was realizing in that moment I was ready and I was there, I was present, and I was just enjoying it.
Well, you represented the country well, and you achieved your goal, and there are, I'm sure, bigger goals and bigger moments ahead for you, and we're looking forward to sharing the journey with you as you continue to write the Sage Advice column for iRun Magazine. Sage, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on all you've done.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on the show.
That is Canadian Olympian Sage Watson. You can read her column at irun.ca. Coming up in the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, we'll talk to Cam Levins, who is now the fastest Canadian marathoner ever. In Toronto last weekend, Cam broke the record that had stood for 43 years, and he did it in his very first marathon. And we'll talk to the top Canadian woman from the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, Kinsey Middleton. I hope you can be with us for the next edition of iRun Radio. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.